There are some of you that will come to Christ and your family will not understand your newfound faith and your newfound zeal, and they will not appreciate it. Jesus said sometimes the very enemies will be those of your own household.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, friends. Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. I'm Joshua Hollick, your host, and I am so happy to be a part of your life in a small way through Straight Talk Radio. We are entering a season where we're partnering together with churches all around Chicagoland, and that season is called Explore God. Maybe you've seen the billboards on the highways, or on social media, or in the newspaper, or on the radio. This is really exciting. We are inviting Chicago to explore God. We believe that the message of Jesus will hold up. If you really want to know God and you begin to explore Him, you can meet Him and know Him personally. And this series, it's a 7-part series. We're going through it at New Life. And so are over 650 churches around Chicagoland. And we're going to be answering questions like, does life have a purpose? Is there a God? Why does God allow pain and suffering? Is Christianity too narrow? Is Jesus really God? Is the Bible reliable? And can I know God personally? This is so exciting because people you know who have real questions are going to have a chance to meet the real God with real answers. We'd love it if you visited one of our New Life locations. If you have the opportunity and don't have a church, we're at newlifechicago.org. You can find a New Life near you. There's over 27 in the Chicagoland area. Or maybe you're part of a great church and you want to invite some friends to the website to see Explore God. You can take them to exploregod.com. Or if you want information about joining up with us, it's exploregodchicago.com. Totally free to you. Huge investments been made to reach Chicago for Christ, and this is a great opportunity. We're so excited about it. Pray with us. Come be a part of it, and let's get ready now for the message. Here's Pastor Mark.
Thanks, Josh. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Straight Talk. We're glad to have you with us. Today, we continue on in Pastor Mark's series called First Things First with the second half of his message called Living Your Bigger Purpose. We're studying text in the book of Colossians. Here's Pastor Mark with this edition of Straight Talk.
Let me read you a couple of verses here. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 through 21, it says, "But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this end you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps." Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, "I want you to know Christ and the power of His resurrection," listen, "and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death." 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 13. "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed." Scripture says, "But unto you is given not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake." What am I saying? Here's simply what I'm saying. Do you think that if Jesus, the perfect, sinless Lamb of God, was rejected, criticized, ill-spoken of, beaten, ostracized, and ultimately crucified, what makes you think that His followers are going to be at the top of the chart of popularity? And if anybody tells you, and I think sometimes we've sold the gospel short, and you can turn on your television and have plenty of it preached to you, and there'll be some televangelist that's going to tell you basically follow these 4 steps and you will be healthy, wealthy, and prosperous. Almost as though if you go through any difficulty, it's because of your lack of faith or because of sin in your life, but that really, a believer should never go through any difficulty or trial. And if you follow Jesus, your life will be a bed of roses. And so you come to God thinking that if you follow Christ, everything will be easier. And then you come to Christ, and sometimes it gets harder. Let me tell you, Jesus said he is the narrow way. And there is a broad way, and it's easier, and there's more room, and you can do what you want, but the end thereof is the is destruction, is the way of death. And there's a narrow way. It's a harder way. It's a tougher way. You have to squeeze through it. There's not a lot of latitude in that narrow way, but that narrow way is the way that leads to life and life eternal. You need to remember that. Now, it doesn't mean you wish suffering upon yourself, but it means that you're willing to pay the price if you have to. Are you with me this morning? This afternoon? That means you pay the price if you have to. Hey, that means, young gal, that guy you've been dating for 2 years, that refuses to make Christianity a priority in his life, and you say, hey, you know, if you want to do it, you get into that. I'm not into that religious stuff. That's good. Go. I don't really want you to go into it. You can go to church to have your Bible, but don't try to drag me. Don't preach to me. And hey, I still want my sex on the weekend too, by the way, gal. Don't let them mess with your morality, okay? Don't take it too seriously. And you get to the point where you have to make a decision. It may mean, young gal, if you're going to follow Jesus, that you say, sorry, Charlie. It's over. Because I'm going to follow Jesus. And I'm not going to get hooked up or engaged or involved in it with any man that's not serious about following Jesus. And although this is hard on me emotionally, spiritually, I know this is the right thing to do. Bye-bye. Hey, you don't think that's paying a price? Hey, that's a price to pay. A heavy price to pay. And all I'm saying is that following Jesus Christ and making him the Lord of our life sometimes generates a degree of persecution. There are some of you that will come to Christ and your family will not understand your newfound faith and your newfound zeal, and they will not appreciate it. Jesus said sometimes the very enemies will be those of your own household. A mother will turn against her son or daughter, a brother against her sister, a husband against his wife. Sometimes the sword will come via your family. Those people that you most love, those people that you most expect to be behind you and celebrate what's happening, sometimes they will be your greatest opposition. That's why Jesus said, unless you love me more than father, mother, brothers, sisters, unless you love me more than them, you cannot be my disciple, because sometimes the very members of your family will be against your new religious faith and zeal, and they will be in opposition to it. It's a price to pay. It's a price to pay. So if you're going to live your bigger purpose in life, you have to be willing to say, Jesus, if you are the center of my life, I am not afraid to live for you all the way, even if it costs me something. Even if at my job they start calling me Jesus freak, holy roller, Bible thumper, hallelujah man, the nun. Are you a nun or something? No, I'm a follower of Jesus. Well, you don't sleep around with guys. You have your Bible. What's up? Come out of a convent? Hey, the world will not always understand your following of Jesus. The Bible says that the world will view us, and we are a peculiar people. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. We live in the world. We work in the world. We eat at the same cafes, and we work at the same jobs. But we have a different value system operating within us that calls us to sometimes go contrary to popular values, that sometimes calls us to live in a way that others do not comprehend, because we have a different inner compass, and sometimes that compass will cause us to pay a price. Are we willing to pay that price? Are we willing to roll up our sleeves and say, wow, guess what? Wow, I got a call to name at work this week for Jesus' sake. Whew, man, wow. Well, I know it doesn't seem all that happy, but don't turn it into a curse, turn it into a blessing. That you are able to share in some of the sufferings. Is it painful? Hey, Jesus went through a lot of pain too. You are participating in the sufferings of Jesus for his cause. Now make sure it's about Jesus and not about your obstinate, brutal, uncaring, rude personality, right? Don't tell me, well, I'm suffering for Jesus. No, you're just suffering because you're rude. You know, it has nothing to do with Jesus. You're just, you know, obnoxious with people and you blame it on your Christianity. It has nothing to do with your Christianity. Okay? So make sure it's suffering for the right cause, not because, you know, people, because you can't get along with people. All right? All right. Number two, Paul talks about the bigger purpose involves a process of discovering your assignment. Notice what it says. Some people believe that they are inventing the purpose for their life, that you have to create a purpose for your life. But that's wrong. In reality, in God's dimension, what you do is you discover the purpose for your life. You do not assign a purpose to your life. God assigns that. You discover it. God has a purpose and a plan for every individual in this auditorium. God has numbered your days since before you were born. God has known you and loved you before you were a twinkle in your father's eye. God already knew you. God already loved you. God already had a plan for your life. And God desires that you discover that purpose, that you uncover that plan, that you begin to discover what God has made you for and called you for. That's why Paul doesn't say, hey, I decided to do this or that. Paul says, I have become its servant by the commission of God. He gave me to present the word of God in all its fullness. Now, if you remember Paul, let me tell you a little bit of the story about Paul and you'll understand his calling.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Living Your Bigger Purpose, which is part of our brand new series called First Things First. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Colossians, chapter 1. His message, Living Your Bigger Purpose.
The Apostle Paul grew up in a traditional Jewish religious home in a strict religious organization called the Pharisees. The Pharisees studied the Word of God like a lawyer would study law in America. There were years and years of disciplined study. They hated Christians. They abhorred Christ followers. Arch enemy number one were Christ followers. And so as a zealous Pharisee, the fellow known as Paul, whose name was Saul, persecuted the church. He went after them with all his zeal, with everything that was in him. The first martyr was Stephen. It was Paul who gave the go-ahead to stone Stephen. He was there. He was on a mission to blot out those Christians, to stomp out those roach Christians. And he was on his way to Damascus with all of his cohorts behind him with the mission of let's get rid of these Christians. And it was on the road to Damascus that Paul had his God encounter. And it was God himself through the person of Jesus who manifests himself to Paul in a supernatural way. And he said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He had this blinding experience, fell off his horse, heard a voice, was blind for a couple days until Ananias was able to lay hands and open up his eyes. And from that day on, this Paul was stunned. Life turned upside down. The very ones he persecuted, he now became a part of. And he became the most zealous, bold, spirit-filled, outrageous presenter and preacher of the gospel that anybody had known. Bulldog Paul. Go into any setting, open up and say, I'm here to tell you about Jesus. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned, left for dead, ran out, bitten. Bitten by a snake. He was everywhere he went, put in prison, threatened, lashed. But Paul had this zeal now. The very church that he had persecuted, now he understood. And now he became the most fervent, bold speaker of Jesus Christ. His life had turned around. Hey, reminds me of some of you before you knew Jesus. Some of you, before you knew Jesus, you couldn't stand Christians. Like, get them out of my face. Ah, one of those. Don't want to be around them. All this Jesus stuff they want to talk about. And praise the Lord stuff. I don't want to be around them. Bunch of hypocrites, holy rollers. Get them out of here. I want to be far from them. And God got a hold of your life, turned your life around, and now you find yourself right in the middle of a bunch of them. Woo! That's how God works. And here's the thing. Not only did he draw you to himself, but the very people that Paul despised as much as Christians were Gentiles. You see, a Gentile is a non-Jewish person. Paul, being a Jew, a thoroughbred Jew, despised Gentiles. To be around them made him feel unclean. They were an underclass, an underdog. They were not allowed into the kingdom. They were not allowed into the synagogue. They were viewed as a subgroup of people. If you were not Jewish, then you were not it. And it's, God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? Because not only did God call Paul to follow him, but God said, Paul, I got an assignment for you, a special assignment for you. You, Paul, are going to be the special missionary. Your focus in life will not only be to preach the gospel, but I have called you to the Gentiles. That's who you're going to love, care for, be persecuted for. That's who you're going to pray for, and that's who you're going to sacrifice for. I'm calling you to the very people that you once despised, the Gentiles. And that's who Paul became. He became the missionary to the Gentiles. How many of you have ever felt like Paul? Come to Christ. That's the last thing I want to do. Do that. And suddenly you feel like God saying, do it. I felt a little bit like Paul. I grew up in a little town in northern Spain with 200 people. The streets were unpaved. The town's name was Rubena. Sheep would go through the middle of the town. There was 10 telephones in the town. I still remember my telephone number. It was 8. Seriously, 8. Not 2, 2, 4, 6, 7, 8. It was just 8. That was my telephone number. One room schoolhouse, 30 kids, one teacher, kindergarten to 7th grade. That was my town. That's where I lived. And at the age of 17, I came here to the middle of Chicago to go to school. Downtown Chicago. Imagine living in a town of 200 people and being plopped in to several million people downtown Chicago. I mean, I thought it was the most noisiest city I'd ever been around. Couldn't go to sleep because there's cars and horns all the time, traffic and people and unfriendly and rude and fast-paced, and everybody wants something from you. It's like, whoa, crazy place. And I couldn't wait to get out of Chicago. I'm here to go to school. I'm out of here. Fast. Get me back to a plaza in Spain. Sitting down with a café con leche. Nice, easy, tranquil, talking. Just a stroll down the center of town. And it's funny what God does. Because after I actually left Chicago to go to school down south, God brought me back to the city. I'll never forget when God just laid on my heart, would you love this city? And I thought, oh no, I'm going to have to stay if I love it. And you know, when God calls you to something, he changes your heart too. You know that? God never gives you a call without giving you a heart for what he's called you to. If God calls you to children, you're not going to hate children. Like, oh, okay, I'm going to serve them, but get out of here, you brat. No, no, no. Hey, you know, God calls you to kids. He's going to give you a heart for kids as well. Listen, God calls you to fatherhood. He's going to give you a heart of a father too. Listen, ladies, God calls you to motherhood. And I've seen some mothers that were just really afraid of being a mother, feeling like I'm so unqualified. I don't have a maternal instinct. Here's what I know, that whatever God calls you to, he also equips you for. He gives you what you need, not before you need it, but when you need it. He'll empower you for it. And I'll never forget how God changed my heart. And when I knew that he wanted me to be here and stay, God changed my heart. I love this place and I love this city and I love the people. I love the diversity and I love the food. And this Chicago, no place like Chicago, such a great city, but I'm spiritually biased towards this city. You know why? Because God has put a heart. God has given me a heart for this city. I'm biased against it because of the love of God. Paul became the missionary to the Gentiles, and that's what God does. When you begin to discover your bigger purpose, God will give you a heart for what he's called you to do. And by the way, when I'm talking about a bigger purpose, I want to clarify, I'm not talking about full-time ministry. Because some of you have this idea, that's good for you because you're a pastor. You see, I work at a factory. I don't have a call like that. No, 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 you got it wrong. You see, everybody who's a follower of Jesus has a call. Hey, you're called. Turn to the person beside you and say, you're called. You're called. And here's the way it works. You see, you may not have the same call as I have or someone else has, but you have a call upon your life. And the way it works is this: some of you have the wrong mentality. You think, well, Pastor, you're called and you were trained and you went to school to learn theology and you have a master's degree in that stuff. So you're the minister, but I'm not. And I just kind of sit and say, go get them, Pastor Mark. And I'll give some stuff in the offering, but you do the work of the ministry because I got other stuff that I'm supposed to be doing. That's your job. No, you got the wrong idea. You see, in the body of Christ, we're all called. All of us. And my job really is to equip you to be able to empower you for your call. Not to do all the work of the ministry, but to empower you to do what God has called you to do. You see, when you start getting this image, you will realize that you may be a nurse here today, but that your calling involves, that part of being a nurse is part of your calling. That you take the essence and the presence of Jesus into that hospital room, and it's not just a job with patients, but you look at those people and you say, God, fill me with your love so that I can serve these people, so Jesus can be seen in what I do, so I can have compassion for them, so that I can have empathy and grace for them, so that they see in me something different. They see the reflection of Jesus in my heart and in my soul.
You have listened to Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church in Chicago. This has been the second half of his message called Living Your Bigger Purpose, which is part of our series called First Things First. Join us again on the next Straight Talk as we continue our series. As I mentioned in the middle of our program, we have a great way for you to get this broadcast for free. Just subscribe to our Straight Talk radio app. It's free, and you can find it at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 400 other messages, great resources, and a link to our New Life Community Church page, as well as Pastor Mark's 2020 vision and our New Life locations. We hope that you check it out. There are 27 life-giving churches around Chicago, and if you would like to know more information about them, just go to www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. Be sure you tell them you heard about New Life from the Straight Talk radio program. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team. We thank you so much for listening. Please do tune in again and tell a friend about our Straight Talk radio program. Have a great evening, and God bless.